So back to what I was saying. What I was saying.
Got all the way to Las Vegas. Completely didn't read the email, right? So excited that I got acceptance letter to come cover the red carpet. Completely missed that they did not say I could cover the red carpet. So yeah, we're in Vegas.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Story time. What is
What's up, friends, family, and fans? Welcome to Life On Podcast. This is where we listen and inspire friends in entertainment.
And everywhere.
Right, because life happens to everyone. Apparently, life is life in Johnny's life.
Man,
right,
listen, now, so. you got to keep it fun, especially when it's like life in the
that
way
wasn't
life
fun.
In,
that was just weird.
No, I mean, you know, not everyone's a comedy. Me for a couple seconds, bro.
Right. Well, moving on. Yo, we got Nico. I almost called you Nico Flowers.
Goodness, I mean, gracious. You can. Why you do that, bro? Yo, it's the one and only. Nico Flow.
I'm going to pass this one on to old Johnny there so we can get this right. That's sorry, Nico Flowers.
It's all good, brother.
Hey, but you know what? If good. This is audio, we might get some hits. Because they can't see that it ain't Nico Flowers.
Yo, this is, it's an honor for me to be able to do this. Because when you get a chance to work with somebody as talented as Nico is for as long as I have. Because in our career spans can be really, really short. Like, You see it like NFL. People come in 2-3 years, they burn out. Me and Nico got to rock together 6 years, 5 years almost, before you got, you know, moved on up and got, you know, God tier powers. I'm gonna read this, bro, because it's one thing to know you and talk to you, but to actually look at the history of the stuff that you did and where you came from. Like, currently you're the assistant program director at Praise, which in my opinion is the hugest gospel station. Not only in the Southeast, I think it's in this part of the country. Aren't y'all the biggest over here?
In the country, yeah.
He's a producer of the Jacalyn Carr Show, also still running your own show as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to run it all the way back, man. You started as a promotions assistant. That's the street team, if y'all don't know what that is. Everybody goes out, makes those events fun.
Yeah, those are
you
fun.
Know, set them up for you, bring you the prizes and all of that. And moved on to become a producer and the co-host for the BJ Murphy Show. This is the one that I didn't even know. You were the lead correspondent for BNR Weekly.
Yes.
Bro, what? Okay. We're going to get to all of that. And after that, he became a producer and an on-air talent at Cox Media Group, which is where we met, where I was still producing some of those shows on that right-wing station that I was at. And you came in over at KISS before I moved on over to KISS.
Yeah.
Right before you springboarded into where you are right now.
Yeah.
I give y'all the illustrious, the award-winning, we can talk about those awards, the magnificent, Nico Flow.
Nico Flow. So you're saying Nico Flow.
Yeah.
Because his last name is indeed Flowers.
Yes.
I actually thought I was messing your last name up. See, I was thinking of Zay Flowers.
Oh, dude.
The wide receiver.
Come on. Baltimore Ravens.
Exactly. And I kept thinking he was Nico Flowers. So when I said Nico and almost called you Flowers, I thought I was messing your name up. So that's why the intro didn't make any sense.
Because you just
watched
that.
I was like, oh, I almost called you Flowers. You're like, Negro, my name is Flowers.
You were watching that Miami Dolphin clip, though. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think that was the
receiver from
the I think so. Thanks for the bailout.
All right, bro. Let's jump into this thing real quick. Getting into radio is not easy. Now, I can't say we. I'm going to get this out of the way now. I got to stop saying we because I'm a civilian now. but we both know the history. What was that first catalyst that made you, one, go to school for it? Because a lot of people don't go to school for it. And the people who do go to school for it don't end up, I hate saying it, having successful
careers. Didn't you go to school
for it? I did not, no.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't even think I've looked at my degree since I got it. Mm. But what was that thing, man? What made you want to go to school for media and journalism and go the radio route as opposed to, you know, being a TV and movie star where all of the accolades and the awards and people respect it? Because you know the disrespect we get on the radio side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny that you asked that. That's a great question, too, to kick it off, because I did not think I was going into radio. It was never on my radar at all. I grew up, I'm a music head, grew up in a household where music was always being played. I grew up, I'm such an old head, you know, like even when I was like in my teenage years, I would listen to like Anita Baker, Luther Vandross, Patti LaBelle, you know, and then some gospel mixed in. You know, I was the young kid that like had so much soul.
I'm trying to figure out where he grew up just from the music that he's listed. So I'm not getting West Coast at all.
No. I mean, Freddie Jackson. And I mean, I can go on and
so
on.
We're moving up the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah.
So are you from up top?
I'm from North Carolina. All right. Born and raised. Almost on the cusp of like north.
Right. You're right there.
Okay. Y'all still in the south.
So we country, but we got a little, a lot of people from New York moved there too. So it's, I think it's that good in between.
Okay.
So I grew up just listening to music. And music was just my life. My dad's a big music head. My mom's a big music head. And so, everybody just assumed, I guess, besides myself, that that's what I would do. But actually, in actuality, I did want to be an actor. Television was my sight. Yeah, okay. Television was my sight. I was super sold that I knew I was going to be in entertainment early. I remember I had a class project in high school, and it was for small business and marketing class. And I remember I wrote out a whole agenda about what it was going to look like for me, and radio was not it. Mm-hmm. It was acting. It was actually it was a little bit of music because it was also owning my own record label.
Okay,
but not talking to people like that.
All right, so what happened then? Where did radio smack you in the face?
I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, which I believe that is where I really became who I am today. It raised me. Charlotte as a man, it grew me. I tell people all the time, that's where I met my now wife. That's where we had our kids. That's where my career began.
So basically his wife made him into the man that he is.
Actually,
that's really what we're saying.
And yes.
That's what we're saying.
Because let me tell you, funny story. And we just had this conversation. I was, like I said, I was going the acting route. I had actually started auditioning for different things. Mm-hmm. And then, because again, I listen to a lot of music and I like to talk to people, just not on air. And so what happened was, one morning, it was like 5 a.m. It was like that Sunday evening. My wife said, hey, I want you to go with me to the dentist's office. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know. I was like, okay. At the time, we weren't even married.
That was just a random question.
It was a random question. She was like, hey, what you got to do tomorrow? Boom, boom, boom. I want you to go with me to a dentist appointment. I said, okay, what time is the dentist appointment? She's like 6 a.m.
She's plotting.
It did not dawn on me.
She's plotting.
I don't know what I was thinking. Now looking back, I was like, that was a terrible way to get me to go, but I'm even more crazy for even believing it.
In the words of the late, great John Witherspoon, you was whipped.
Yes. Yes. So I'm gonna go and sit with you to go get your teeth cleaned
at 6 a.m. Right,
cool. Bro. So that's what I did. But it was funny because the crazy part is there is a radio station, CBS Radio, in the same building as the dentist office. So dentist office on below, the whole second floor is the radio station. Mm-hmm. Now, I knew that because in the past I had won some things from the radio. Isn't it crazy?
Really?
Now like on this side,
Never met in real life anyone that won a radio contest.
Really?
That won a radio contest?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
The first thing I ever won on radio was in 2000. I won the Country Grammar album and the Guitar.
I literally never knew that. So you just, I just didn't know you never
yeah, told that. Was,
I
didn't that know. Was my all right, first
so
time
wow.
Too.
So two people.
Oh, yeah, right. Country Grammar album. And this is a funny thing. One thing that I've noticed is that most of the jocks that I've come in contact with that have had careers longer than 3-5 years. Always won something.
Are you serious?
At least five years prior to ever getting in the ring.
Y'all and Publishers Clearinghouse winners are unicorns.
Oh, no. You got two of them sitting right here.
Yeah, two of them.
Hey, buy your lotto tickets, bro.
I still have yet to meet a Publishers Clearinghouse.
Claiming it right now. Now.
But yeah.
I need to knock at the door.
So what happened when you guys? I know you like, hey, babe, I'm going to be right back. What do you mean you say, babe? Because y'all went again.
We were in the little forum area. And at the time, I'm originally from Wilmington, North Carolina. One of the air hosts, which is Tone X, he's toured with Monique. He's done a lot of he was on a Monique show. He's been a writer for her. He rides her and Ronnie Perry. They're like a three team. And when she buzzed, I wasn't thinking. She buzzed and he came down. I was like, well, this is strange. Like the dentist office is literally right behind us. Man, come to find out. She had reached out. This was before like Instagram. I'm aging myself now. This is before Instagram. This is like Facebook was going, but Facebook wasn't like Facebook and like that.
Yeah.
And so we went up there, and what she did is she reached out to the one of the talent, which is Janine Davis. Mm-hmm. She's still in radio to this day, and said, "Hey, my boyfriend will really love to I would really like for him to check this out and shadow you guys to see if there's something he'd be interested in.
So wait. Was there ever a discussion about this between you and your girlfriend?
No, it was a setup, bro.
No. Oh, so she pretty much just ran your life. She was like, you going to do this?
Yeah.
I mean, just in my head, I literally just picture like a mom and a 10-year-old kid. It's like, I want my son to do this.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I think for her, she
put... What is her name? She deserves a name.
Shout out to Queen B. Yeah, Queen B.
straight up. What's her name?
Janice.
Yeah. What up, Alpha Janice?
Yeah.
Alpha. Now that
Alpha.
Doesn't mean you're a beta, but I'm just saying.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was
some friendship stuff. I can actually say when you get a power couple where you got two alphas though, because that's what you're rocking with them two. It's amazing to see.
I wouldn't want to be in that house too.
It's rare.
There's a whole lot of Rams going.
Rams.
Straight up.
We have our moments.
Okay, you're married. Because
I'm creative. Yeah. So, so I give her all the crazy ideas, and she's the one to be like, yeah, okay, but not how.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She has to mold
my stuff.
She definitely has to mold my stuff.
I like it.
But we shadowed.
Mm-hmm.
I shadowed, set up there, loved it so much, set up there during the morning show. Loved it so much. Asked them, could I come back? And then they let me come back one more day,
mm-hmm.
That following week. And then I said, can I come back again? And they hit me with that. Yeah, no. You can't just be up here because then, like, we ain't got no paperwork on you. Like, because if we ask you to go get something off the printer and you ain't working for us and you're not an intern, that's not a good look. So
lawsuits right there.
Yeah. So they said, hey, man, just go to school for it if it's really something you want to do. So I end up finding a really good radio school that a lot of people went to that they suggested in Charlotte. And
were there any drips of radio throughout your life at all? Like some almost led you to radio or anywhere where radio might have been trying to get your attention at all?
I think growing up now, I remember as a kid, we would drive to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, because it's only like 45 minutes to an hour from Wilmington. Mm-hmm. And we would drive there, and I can remember vividly sitting in the back seat listening to the radio and listening to Walt Baby Love.
Uh-huh.
And he had a countdown. Mm-hmm. And to this day, that is like in brain, that's like stuck in my mind and didn't realize how much of an impact listening to him and what he did made and did for me years before. But that, I think that is the only thing. I mean, because a lot of people love music and like music.
I want to ask you this question. Yeah. Because we used to do this. Me and my brothers, we had the Wells Brothers show where we had two cassette players.
Yes, sir.
And we would play the songs off of one into the microphone of the other one.
Yeah.
And he would do our little fake breaks. And then we'd play another song.
Played radio.
Yeah. And we would recreate. I still got the cassette tapes from some of the ones we used to do.
That's super
dope. And
I've
never thought about it. Like, I was 8, 9, 10 years old doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in 2000, I don't know how old was I in 2014, 15, whatever that was. That was, the country grammar. So, like, there was so much space in between the times.
You were a cooperating participant. Like, your story, how your wife just randomly, like, don't that sound like to me? It sounded to me like, look. No. I was like, you know what? I've been sending you. Come here, nigga. Just go on top of it.
I've been trying to give you bits and pieces.
How about I'm sending you a whole person?
Yeah, exactly. God's like, all right, you ain't listening.
I'm going to send you a whole person.
You're right.
See that person?
Yeah.
That's one thing I can say about Janice, though. Like, I've watched her in so many situations where she can see what needs to happen, and then she just makes it happen.
Mm.
She saw him pussyfooting, and she was like, "Nah, bro, you ain't finna be doing that with me. You're gonna get to it." And she made it happen. That's kind of how she functions.
It's a beautiful thing, man. And it makes me be, especially with having kids now, I'm very conscious of what I say and what I put them around. You know what I mean? Because it's in the back of my mind thinking that, I mean, somebody did it for me without me even knowing it, or with me sitting in the backseat of my mom's car, I didn't realize that that would be something that would just stay with me forever, years later. So I'm very conscious of that with my kids.
So now you were in secular radio.
Yeah.
Right. So what you just said about your kids,
did
that have anything to do at all with the decision to go from secular to gospel radio, or was that really just a career move?
it wasn't a me move. It was like I just felt uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's unpack that.
Yeah, yeah. I felt really, really, really uncomfortable. I remember the first three stations I worked at were all secular. Mm-hmm. One of them was, R&B, so that felt a little better. That felt a little better for me. But at the time, to be honest with you, I was out. I was living, you know, I was real fleshy, you know what I'm saying? So,
no, I get
I was Mr. Fleshy. Mr. Fleshy. So it didn't mind. I was just having this conversation. It was funny because on New Year's Eve, I can remember my New Year's Eves up to a certain point. And every New Year's Eve, I'll be in the club. Mm-hmm. Hosting or either just participating.
Sure.
And I remember one New Year's Eve in particular. I am a cologne man, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of colognes. Okay. It's my thing.
What's your favorite?
Oh boy. Let's see.
That is a hard question.
That is a very hard question.
You got one for different
types. And that's no, what you're right. I am.
No, that, for different, you know what? Scratch that. That's an unfair question.
I got one.
One?
I just wear one.
Oh, you good.
What is that? Burberry is it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay, great. So, here you go. Going out to dinner.
Wait. Y'all got multiple colognes y'all run through?
Oh, yeah. Bro, are you going to dinner? What are you wearing? Sorry. Going to a formal dinner, what are you wearing?
Oh, you know what? I like formal dinner. I like Chanel for men.
Okay. Going to a business meeting, what are you wearing?
Wait, Chanel makes cologne for men? I'm lost.
All right, well, we're putting you on game.
I got
a business meeting. What are you
business
doing?
Business meeting, I'm either doing, depending on what color I'm wearing. But okay. if I'm, because I'm like that black, I'm doing like a polo black.
What?
Or I'm doing a Gucci black.
Oh, okay, there we go.
I'm now doing that's a Gucci.
That's the power cologne.
Yes.
Right, you're going to the gym.
Oh, I'm going to the gym?
Wait a minute. Wait,
okay, so if I'm going to the gym,
bro?
Now here's the thing. I got high low. So if I'm going to the gym, I'm a big candle guy, right?
Okay.
I love candles. Shout out to Bath and Body Works. It gets a lot of my money. I have a closet full of candles. It's crazy. Okay. But if I do the graphite, I keep body spray on me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So for the gym, I keep body spray.
Bath and Body Works body spray?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because that's
crazy.
But I tell you, people will sleep. Le Coq Sportif.
Oh.
Well, we'll say Le Coq. Yeah, because Le Coq going to the gym doesn't really sound right.
So
Le Coq Sportif actually is not that bad. I don't wear it, but I smell it. And it makes sense for the gym.
I need y'all to chill. Both you Negroes, and my life is tight as y'all are, and I don't know any. What are y'all doing right now, bro?
This is not a conversation. I'll be like, hey, what are you wearing? I don't know.
I feel like I've been manning wrong.
You might go with Polo Sport. All right, so and then your everyday.
Yeah.
What's your everyday?
My everyday? Oh man.
I'll tell you,
and this is real old school, and honestly, I'm telling you,
it's real
basic. For the fall and the winter, okay. I go with a more spice.
Okay.
So I told you this is the thing,
which
Johnny. It's Calvin Klein obsession.
No, I mean, so here's the deal. Calvin Klein obsession is one of those where when you smell it, you're like, okay, it's dated, but it's classic.
Yeah,
like it's classic. You accept it, like you're like, you'll never catch a young person wearing Calvin Klein obsession.
Yeah.
But someone like me, I'd be like, all right, but I get it.
Yeah,
type of thing.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And now I got into mixing, so I mix.
See, I haven't.
And I'm going to tell y'all right now,
I walk around here smelling like a flowery garbage truck.
You got to know how to do it.
Yeah, Johnny, it's a thing.
What's going on right now, bro?
Welcome to the next level of manhood.
I'm so lost right now. I'm like, man, give me some nice threads. You know what I'm saying? I'm good.
No, I literally just got for Christmas, my wife brought me another cologne shelf. Because I was over capacity. So
can I introduce you to two?
Maybe, please.
I don't know.
Please.
So for just dinner.
Okay.
Dinner or any kind of, you just want to smell grown.
Yeah.
So it can be even every day, but you're going to be.
Smell grown.
You just want to smell grown.
Yeah.
Right? Or a nice dinner. Doesn't have to be formal. Prada Luna Rosa.
Okay.
Bruh.
Okay. Prada Luna Rosa.
Bruh.
Okay.
You might wear that. Your wife be like, where are you going?
Yeah.
I'm going out. There going to be women here?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Prada Luna Rosa. And then, I lie to you not, I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
A really nice everyday. It's a really good gym one. Bath and Body Works. Stone.
I've seen Stone.
It smells great.
Stone.
Yep. There you go.
Boom, boom. I do have a Bath and Body Works mist spray.
Okay.
And I keep now, my book bag.
I don't ever want to know when you're wearing Stone. We don't need to know that.
No.
Like I'm spraying on Stone today. Yeah. Pause. But, so anyway.
Mix.
All right, so back to your. I love it. All right, man. There you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
So man, that's my own heart.
There you go.
I love it.
Bring Johnny back into
the
fold.
I don't know what's happening.
This is amazing, guys.
I was about to leave. I feel like I don't even need to be here no more. What just happened?
All right, so we were talking about the move from some secular to gospel.
Is that what we were talking about?
Yeah. Because it was starting to make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this.
So this is the thing. you always, like, Stone has this slight frustration sometimes, like when he'll say something and I just know something about everything. Y'all just rocked me because I didn't know that that was a
we just schooled him.
Yes, a top five clone.
That's difficult to do.
Jim clone. What?
Absolutely, man.
I didn't know. I'm out, man.
Hey, you don't ride around with something in the car?
My Burberry's in the car. So here's the deal. Here's the deal
with the gym. Now, you're not going to the gym to smell like cologne. Like, you're not. Okay. It's just because at the end of the day, you're walking by someone. Everyone has a whiff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want your whiff to be somewhat pleasant. So it's just a whiff. You ain't going in there smelling like you're going to the club or someone. That's on some creepy crap.
See, I ain't never thought like that. I just take showers before I go places. Make sure I'm clean.
Yeah, I mean, shower, but you know, it's just. But it is nice. You don't have to do it. I mean, it's just nice if you do walk by and there's a pleasant thing. Women do it all the time, and I love it. Yeah. And I ain't gonna lie, there's been dudes that walk by and they're like, okay, I'm like, oh.
All right, pause.
What's that?
No, because you're sitting here like, all right, this fool.
Like, no, oh, can I tell you, like, yesterday, literally, hey, I don't remember the last time this happened, but yesterday, I can't remember what store I was in. I was in a store, and I was in a grocery store, and the guy turned the corner to go to the next aisle, and would you believe, like, his whiff, like, hit me in the face, and I came close to it being like, brother.
What are you wearing?
But here's the thing, normally, I don't even tell people, right? Because I know some people don't tell, right?
Yeah.
But I want to just go up to bro, like, bro, that smells good. Yeah. You know, and I think being secure with yourself.
Being secure, it's just a compliment. Good, bro. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I talk about it, too.
That's amazing.
I'll be like, dude, what you rocking?
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, and people are like, oh, what is that? That was that beautiful scent you're wearing, sir. You don't do that. But
no, you don't. No, you can't.
Yeah, do that. Just do what you
rocking. That just awesome.
All right. Comes weird. So I'm assuming.
Yes.
That it made you feel uncomfortable. This is a spiritual thing.
Yes.
Am I getting it? Yes. So, because the reason why, because we have a big thing about where music is today.
Yep.
It's a huge soapbox of mine. Mine's for a bunch of reasons. Mm-hmm. Just what gets in, it affects behavior and all this kind of stuff. So, it's definitely more than just like the Christianese speak.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a thing. So, what is it about it that made you feel uncomfortable and why gospel too? Because I got a little story on that, why I felt uncomfortable in gospel.
We can talk about that too.
Sure. These aren't on the list, but they're getting uncovered.
So, so I was, like I said, I was working at a couple of hip hop stations. At the time, I was very fleshy, didn't mind it at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. I mean, I literally lived.
Don't get yourself
music.
In trouble now, okay?
No, if you lying, if you don't say, you know, send it and feel good and taste good. I mean, at the end of the day.
You know,
and like, I meant what I said.
Right yeah, now, like, let me tell you something. When I was hosting clubs, I'm gonna be honest. I would drink to get drunk.
Sure.
And I just, my mouth was just outrageous. And I had the microphone, so it was just like,
sure.
Beep, 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 yeah. You know, the whole thing.
You ain't saying nothing new.
And that's why I got on the cologne thing, because the cologne, I remember one particular New Year's Eve, one particular cologne, I remember the smell.
Okay.
And I remember that whole night. And when I smelt that cologne the other day, because I still have it, I was like, man, this takes me back to New Year's Eve.
I was going
to
say, you have some flashbacks.
And I literally see myself in the club like.
Whoever had it on, he just walked up to the dude like, shit. I was like, brother, get away from me.
Ooh, this takes me back.
That's funny.
That made me cuss.
That's funny.
But no, that's why I brought up the cologne thing. Because, like, again, it takes me through a different time period with each thing I wear. Like, you know, it just became uncomfortable. To the point where the music just made me feel bad. Like, it just made me feel bad. I just got tired of the same, they were talking about the same exact things. And because I was growing, it was like I was almost growing. It was like you almost grow out of a pair of shoes.
Yeah, you do.
You know what I mean? And that's how that was happening. And then I remember, because when I had to do breaks in radio are when we talk. Mm-hmm. And I remember I would turn down the music. Mm-hmm. When the music was playing, and I would just turn it up like maybe 30 seconds before my break.
Had you?
And I just got real edgy.
Believe it or not, we all do that.
Right.
It's that bad. And so, and one thing I wanted to, as believers and stuff, like, for some reason we like to separate the two, and they're not. is like we're talking about vibrations and frequencies here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like energy. You're literally in energy and all of that stuff. So that stuff affects you. You know what I'm saying? Just so the moment we'd be like, oh, I love the Lord, all of a sudden vibrations, frequencies, and energy don't make any sense. I don't understand. I never got that mindset.
Yeah.
But that's really what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's like, one of the things that most of us in media understand that better than everybody because we're so
you're dealing with
we're
that.
So
you're literally dealing
news,
with frequencies.
Music, everything all day.
Yeah.
Like when you take a break from work, you take a break. Like people always wonder like when we're not at work and it's like, why are you not talking a lot? It's like, bro, I talk for a living. I don't feel
come
like
on.
Like it's I don't feel like talking to nobody. Because it's a part of what you do. And you intake so much of the energy from people, the stories, the celebrities you're doing interviews with, all of that stuff weighs on your lifestyle. So
I was just gonna say, you gotta feel heavy.
Oh, dude.
Sometimes funny you said weigh. Yeah. I was thinking that you gotta feel heavy.
You feel very heavy, you know, and I think that played a part, if I could be honest, like I'm a big advocate for mental health. Mm-hmm. I've been very transparent about my struggles with mental health, and that was something that definitely played a part.
Absolutely, I can see that.
It was like too heavy. I was like, man, I can't be inspired. You talking about your girl shaking her, you know, like in a club, like this is not doing it for me anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay. And instead of me, it wasn't really me. It was my move to Atlanta that really pulled me out.
Okay.
Accidentally. But yeah, so that's what it was.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's always one part of it. The second part of it is the people that you have to deal with. Mm. There's industry politics across every form of entertainment. We talk about it in music all the time. In radio, surprisingly enough, there's so much red tape in politics that we have to deal with. The different people that have their finger on the button of your future, so to speak, in a lot of cases. That, and coupled with everything that you just said.
Yeah.
How did both of those affect you, and did that actually lead to that breaking point to say, listen, I gotta make that swap right now? Or were you able to compartmentalize it? Because I'll be honest with me, the reason why I gave up doing the stuff at WSB and like only did Kiss stuff, because the stuff that I was having to do with those particular shows, it was eating at me, dude. Like I couldn't go home and talk to my family knowing that I had just written content for some of the shows I was working on.
Mm.
And when you have to balance that duality that you live with, it forces you to a fork. You either decide to stick with it because of the passion for the medium, or it forces you to break. Which one? Did you balance it? Did you compartmentalize it? Or was that your breaking point?
I tried to balance it as much as I could until it became a breaking point.
Okay.
So for me, I tried to like, you know, I would go to church, you know, Sunday, whatever like that. And I found myself getting more connected in that. But then I would know that this is a job. So, yeah, I would compartmentalize it. But I kind of kept it separate for a while. And that was tough. And I'm going to tell you something. It was really tough, especially when you work for a secular station, if you will, because I was still getting asked to do certain things. I was still, again, being around the music so much that it was hard, because it was like when I wasn't there, I would be listening to something completely different.
Yeah.
And then I knew it was really changing when my verbiage changed. I don't know, y'all. Like, it's crazy. To this day, I literally, like, the my words start changing. Like, the way I interacted with people at my job at the time, they knew something was different. They was like, are you different? Like, you're not engaged with a lot of the stuff that you used to be engaged with, or I could tell that you're moving differently and stuff like that. So for me, it was about balancing, because I still needed that check. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's, for me, it was balance.
I feel like it was like that for me at Social Def.
Yeah,
I really do. If I'm going to be honest with you, because like half the times when they went to the clubs, I didn't go. You know, I mean, every once in a while, like Eddie or someone's like, "Hey, we rolling here? You rolling?" I'd be like, "Nah." Or and if I'm at Southside, I'll just stay at Southside. But I never on purpose tried to engage and get into it. And it wasn't anything against them. And I don't even know if I consciously was. Well, no, I was consciously trying to keep a balance between the two. You know what I mean? Because that lifestyle was all over there. So there's no hate on them at all. But I never felt accepted, if you will. I never felt a part of it, but it's because I didn't allow myself to be a part of it. But I felt that for sure. And there were some times where I just felt left out, and me and JD's relationship was always surface level. Mm-hmm. You know, we never really had any kind of real conversations, but he never got that kind of connection from me. Mm-hmm. I was there, I did my job, and I left. Oh, we going here, Stone. It got to the point where you ain't even asked Stone.
Yeah.
Because you knew he wasn't doing it. So right. there's a good and a bad to it, and once it kept me kind of separate, but then in this business,
yeah,
especially in Atlanta, everything was so cliquish for a minute. I was never a part of anyone's clique. I was never a part of anyone's clique. So I always felt a little bit like an outsider.
Which is
why I always wanted to make my mark as the publishing guy. Because that's money in music. Everyone needs to know it.
Yeah.
I want to be the expert at it.
Yeah.
So I just built my own thing, literally.
Man, listen.
And then everybody wanted to be a part of your clique.
Yeah, and sometimes it's I'm not gonna lie, sometimes it's a lonely world.
Yeah.
And if you don't have good self-confidence, you can feel like you're not enough, mm-hmm. you know, and all that stuff. But you just have to know that, look, I just have a different standard. Not saying higher or lower. It's just a different mm-hmm. standard.
Yeah, man. I completely agree. I knew when I had got let go from. Can we say where?
Yeah, we can talk
so
about.
So when I got let go of Kiss mm-hmm. On December 4th, 2020.
He remembers the date.
I was gonna say
it was Jay-Z's birthday.
I was gonna say.
We got dates.
I'm about to sit back and let them unpack.
let me tell y'all something. Like,
I block them dates out.
Listen, that day I remember that day very well. It was a Friday, and as it normally is,
yours was a Friday.
Yeah, well, I guess not. Yours not.
So much for normal.
I guess not.
Mine was a Wednesday.
At least give me a Friday.
It was a Friday at one, and the moon was in the full orbit of the sun.
Mine was a Wednesday. I was on the beach in Florida on Thursday morning.
Come on, man.
You got fired remotely?
No. We did this. It was one of the.
Oh, I was
so mine's different. I don't mean to cut yours off. Mine was different. I'm not going to talk about mine because I technically still can't talk about it. But I think what ended up happening, I was going to quit anyway, and I had already let the date kind of slip to a couple of people, and I think it got back that I was going to be leaving. Yeah. So instead of allowing me to get to that date, which was like 4 weeks away, they did it early, which again did me a favor because I was like, shoot, I ain't got to fight for the severance. Exactly. I get all packages. At the time, CBS was the only station I had worked for, so I had 10 years at the time building with them. Okay. So when I left, like I said, we left. I went to Gwen's office because her office with the agency was still down here. Mm-hmm. I went straight there and I was like, "Wanna go to the beach tomorrow?" And when she got off, we went to Florida, and that was the start of my vacation. So I did not get a Friday. I got that Quinchel that I walked in and let me do the show, got the guests in, did all of that stuff, and then. Magically, the host of the show was missing, like, after this whole meeting. Like, nobody was around, I had a private meeting. So that's, you know, mine was a little different than yours.
So December 4th, 2020.
December 4th, 2020. I remember, because I did this package. It was a Jay-Z package. Mm-hmm. I got permission from our program director at the time. And I said, hey, you know, tomorrow's Jay-Z birthday. We should do something for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I went home. I put did this Jay-Z little mesh, you know what I'm saying? And we give away tickets, but I wanted the people to name the different Jay-Z songs. Mm-hmm. So I remember that day. So anyway, got laid off that day. You know how they do. You know, they separate you, then mm-hmm. they conquer. And then I didn't work until September 17th of 2021. Oh, wow. But in that time period, I learned the biggest thing I took out of that time period was to wait. I was very, very cautious of what I said yes to as far as, of course, as men or as a human in general, especially men, you're like trained to work. Mm-hmm. You're trained to provide. And so
gentlemen under the age of 25, please listen to what Nico just said. Can you repeat that, Nico, please?
As men, you are trained to work. You are trained to provide for your household.
You are expected to work.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, that too. You know. Yeah. And so, but again, my wife was amazing. She really was very hard on me about not accepting anything. Don't rush into anything.
I like Janice.
And we're good. And she was like, we're good. She was like, we're good.
I got to do something real quick.
Yeah.
Since y'all like kicked me out of so much of this interview with that little cologne break we took.
Yeah. get a little Johnny Salty.
I remember, well, a little bit.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I got, so obviously, so this is the thing, and it happens in just about every job, yeah. But it's really special in radio how they do it when they let somebody go. They immediately send that mass email out with the wishing them their best on the future.
Did you get my email?
I got your email.
Yo!
That was before I called you.
God, dog, you should have screenshot it. I would love to have that email, man. Come on, somebody, you can't even go back.
I'm retired. I'm not in no
more. I should have asked you like 3 weeks ago.
So this is the thing. When I got the email, I called Nico immediately. And I mean, it was because they wait till you like out the building. I'm pretty sure they had his key cards and all that stuff so that you can't get to people and all that. I was coming in to do an air shift. I think at the time, I think I was sitting in for...
Might have been Diamond.
I think I was coming in for Diamond that day. And nobody was in the studio. It was like I was getting out of that quick and all of that. So I called you. And the reason why I'm inserting myself into this, because I remember saying the same thing to you that Janice said. I told you, I was like, listen, this was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Because me and Nico had had a bunch of conversations about just the dissonance and the discomfort and just like not feeling like the fit was right, but like something bigger was there. Like both of us was feeling the same way. And I told him, I was like, man, I already see what's happening. Because I was plugged into a lot of the bosses that hadn't gotten fired yet. So I knew a lot of stuff that was happening around. I said, there's some pieces that are about to move and there's some spots that's about to open. And one of those spots is going to be yours. I don't know how you're going to end up in it. But whatever you do, take this time, sleep, chill, play with the babies, and you're going to get a phone call. Just wait for the phone call. And I remember saying that. And we were on the phone for like an hour. Like, I remember I told you to hold on.
Yeah,
and I was like, I need to record a few breaks. Like, I voice tracked like 2 hours so we could talk. Yeah. And we were just talking. And I was just like, man, when you run into a talent like this, you see when the industry's doing some suppression on their growth. And it was just one of those things that when we first met, I was just like, bro, why are you here?
Russell Wilson. But yeah.
Facts. And it didn't make sense because the opportunity to do so. I mean, we saw opportunities even in CMG where both of our skill sets could have been maximized more than what they were. And they weren't. And I was just like, bro, it's going to be a time where they're going to squeeze everything out of you. So take this time to rest because when you get that phone call, you ain't going to get another break for a while.
And let's have a little drop of honesty and truth here. And that is, hindsight being 2020, it's easy to say, oh, everything happens for a reason.
Sure.
Oh, just be patient. There's a plan. Oh, it's easy to say that after it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going through that,
I agree. I had to keep people around me, and I had a lot of phone conversations in that time. Mm-hmm. I had to keep people around me that was going to keep me encouraged.
Yeah.
Because like you can say, well, I'm good. But then when when you ain't got nothing to do, you trying to find hobbies and stuff like that. Like you be like, man, I ain't got nothing to do out here. Like, what am I? I'm just out here. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like I'm here. But God, you told me to be still.
Give me a PS5. That was the biggest thing. I'll be still all day.
Man, listen. Listen. It's funny you say that. It was so hard to be still. Yeah. It was so hard to be still because, again, social media does not help in the situation because you see all your colleagues, you see everybody still moving, you see boss moves being made, you still hirings and promotions, and I'm just like on the sideline, on the bench, like, but what about me? Like, I can do that. I know I can do that better than them.
Right.
I remember, and this is crazy because I remember I got so... What's the word I'm looking for? I got so
impatient.
Impatient. There you go. I got so impatient that I was like, man, because I ain't get no phone calls. Okay. I ain't get no phone calls. Like, I'm about to go do something different. So I just literally start looking at outside of radio, outside of media stuff. And I'm not going to say the job, but it was a different job because I wanted to do something to help people. And it was a really good job. And I went on the interview. Went on an interview, end up hit me back, say, hey, we would love to have you, boom, boom, boom. Cool. I remember I got the letter of acceptance on that Friday. They said, please let us know so we can go ahead and get your background check, boom, 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 everything on that following week. I remember sitting down on the floor, looking at the email, and was like, I'm not supposed to take this job. The money was right. But I'm not supposed to take this job. And I knew that they were going to hit me up on Monday because they were expecting me. Man, I was like, okay, so if I send this email over the weekend and say I'm not going to take the position, I can't get it back.
Mm-hmm.
That was the moment that I remember. I was super in my feelings. That was the moment that once I hit send on that email, I knew that I'm completely leaving everything in God's hands. Okay. I was like, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to insert myself into anything that's going to take me from the path of my purpose. Whew. And so when I pushed that button, I said, well, just lost that opportunity. That was a check. That, a nice check.
That's hard.
That was, it was really hard. And I remember I felt like the bottom of the bottom because I was like, okay, you really want me to deny this?
Like, what, this? What was the final piece of assurance to give you the courage to hit send on that email?
If you can,
if you can pinpoint it.
That?
It was, I might get to that. That might be the truth, though.
It was, yeah. It was, yeah. It was, it was, it had, it was me saying and me confirming that I was no longer going to do it my way.
Okay.
Because I've always been, and I joke about it now, especially in radio. I remember, I mean, I should have. I was applying for jobs in Idaho, in Wyoming, in Little City, Kansas. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have been doing that.
Little City, Kansas?
Like, I remember, when I tell you, because, you know, I was so wanting to be in the business that I would have accepted anything.
Yep.
And now, looking back, my wife was like, you about to have us move where? With who? I was like, it's a chick. Yeah. Like,
oh, my God.
And so
that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know that comes with our business. Because even though it's an entertainment, most forms of entertainment, radio, I mean, music, TV, film, like you can still have your home base and be stationary, but then you go work other places to come back. You have to go where the job is in radio, man. Which is a part of the reason why a lot of our careers end up getting stunted, especially those of us who have families.
Absolutely.
Because in order to get that next big gig, you got to go to small town Kansas.
Yeah.
And like my wife was on me a lot about it too. She was like, you don't seem like you're being active enough. And I was like, there's a reason for that, because I had 6 offers on the table.
Mm.
The biggest one was in Dayton, Ohio.
Mm.
Pete Spriggs was talking to me. He's like, yo, you want to go run the stations? Because I was trying to get my first PD gig.
Yeah.
Then I want to take my wife and my son to Dayton, Ohio. Like, I went from Orlando to Atlanta to the top of the mountain. I'm going to go backwards to Dayton.
Dayton's so side-eyeing you right now.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, the city itself might be dope, but like industry-wise, it's a blip on the radar for
you didn't think it was
going
to be the right fit for you, for your career, and for your family.
And for the family. You got to take that into account. It's like, you got to look out. I have these people's lives in my hand.
Yeah.
Now, I can drag them along for just my dream, and I can live my stuff out, and they're going to be miserable, or we can do what Nico did, and just sit still and wait for it to
happen. And that's what I was trying to do, because a lot of times in our podcast, we reach this moment, what I call a nugget moment, which usually I think are nugget moments, but listeners be finding something else where they change their life. I'm like, that changed your life?
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to do is make as tangible as possible, which may be impossible, that moment of the leap of faith. Because we say that crap all the time. Leap of faith. You got to have faith. Follow your gut. Da-da-da. And I get it. There's
I'm
so
sick of you
much.
Wanting it to be a thing.
No. It's not a thing. That's the thing. I don't want it to be a thing. Mm-hmm. I just also don't want people to gloss over it and then chalk it up as yet another saying of, oh, yeah, he just had faith. What the heck does that look like? What does that mean? And that's why I'm letting him tell that story. So, because they'll know what it means by how they feel.
Right.
Hearing his story, you know, hearing that story. So that's why I kept letting you roll and kept asking to dig into that, because I don't want that to fall. Because you were in that, we've been in that moment.
Yeah.
We don't know what's next. This makes perfect sense. And I loved your honesty. You were like, I was all in my feelings.
Yeah.
And this makes perfect sense. But you were like, but something said. And that's where everything changes, that something said.
Yeah. So if you want something, here's a something for you. So during the time, I set out from December 4th to September 21st of 2021. And I remember there was one particular time that I was like, man, I'm just going to go do something, right? So I called up this temp agency. And I was like, let me just go get some extra money. You know what I'm saying? Because at the time, I was making unemployment. You know what I'm saying? So it was decent. And that during that time I was getting stimulus checks for COVID, and so I was like, "Oh, we good." Like, it was literally like God was like, "You're good." Like, but I was like, nah, this can leave and this can go. So
thank you,
I
wise went, black man. Thank you.
I was like, eh, you know, like I like my number to be sent.
Oh, hear him and hear him well.
Yeah, oh, man. And so I went, and y'all, this is crazy. I went to this warehouse, and I was like, let me just make some little extra cash on the side, bro. Let me tell you something.
Y'all bonding again
on the first. Or second day, no lie, I was going to pick up something, and I about cut my whole finger off. Like, literally, this finger right here had to be sewed back.
Oh, dang.
Like, not the whole finger, but, like, right there.
Right.
It's still numb. I can't feel anything right there. I took a picture. I'm telling, blood everywhere.
Right.
Blood everywhere.
And God sitting there like,
I was like, you
that's what you get.
Exactly.
That's what you get.
And I was
now,
like,
can I clear something? Look, God didn't cut his finger. So can no. we
people he like, you know, God put me in that accident. God made
no.
that.
No,
he let it happen.
He just let it happen.
Let it happen.
Like, okay, you ain't listening again. Okay. This is what happens when you do it on your own.
Mm-hmm. That was another sign. So from there, I said, all right, I ain't working. Because that was after I did the little thing, right? So what happened next was I actually start serving. I started serving. So there was a radio station. There is a radio station very close to me. It's locally owned. And it's locally owned by a person that in the radio industry knows. So I'm going to go ahead and put that person out there, Coco Brother.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, Coco Brother used to be on Hot 107.9. Mm-hmm. And he was with the Praise 102.5. He opened up his own radio station. And I was like, man, if I'm going to be sitting here, at least let me, like help with in something that I know I can do. And it was gospel. So I went, I like, blew him up. Well, I sent email and went by the station and boom, boom, boom. Long story short, one day that he was actually there, his wife walked in. When I was talking to him, never met this man in person before upstairs, and his wife walked in and said, we was in the studio. Hey, it's this guy that's been emailing about boom, boom, boom. And she started to go down the stuff, and he looks as like, the guy's here. That's him. And she was like, whoa, okay. And so for like that whole 4 months, I did 4 months. 4 months I just served.
Yeah.
4 months I just served. I helped him program the station. I helped do all types of stuff, man.
So you weren't getting paid?
No.
Just so people understand.
I was not getting paid.
He wasn't getting paid.
I was not getting paid.
So you were an intern.
Pretty much.
Essentially.
Essentially.
So you were a valuable intern.
Exactly.
Like, you actually went in there and brought value.
Absolutely.
To the, okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood that.
I was not getting paid. I was doing everything from putting signs on the road with the station logo on it, say, listen to, like I said, programming to... little things, man. Just
so
like,
you weren't like, I used to do this all the time, I got paid money, this is beneath me. You weren't like that?
No.
Wow. That's no. Okay. I'm really learning something new here. This is awesome.
I wasn't.
Nico, don't feed her this foolishness with this nut. No. Man, don't do that.
I wasn't. It was cool, man. And
this is great.
I that season came to an end because I felt like I had that release.
Yeah.
To like go back to kind of like actively looking. Okay. And then I start actively looking in like right after my birthday in August. And so with that, I start putting out some fillers.
And then what Johnny said came to pass.
Yeah. And so funny thing is,
funny. So Johnny was a prophet.
Prophet. Yes. So the funny thing is,
you know, wait a minute.
Here's a full circle. Here's a full circle for you. So again, I just kind of chilled, right? I did not reach out to the company that I'm currently with. I don't know what it was. I didn't reach out to them.
Yeah.
I got a text message one day, and this brother was there at the time. He was with me. He was at my house at the time, and it was from a executive producer at Radio One at the time. And he was like, "Yo, are you still sitting right now?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "There's some shifts coming." He was like, "And he was like, I hope you don't mind, but I've already kind of put you out there." And I was like,
who you to talk to and what you about to have. I was like, bro, you need to call me because I need to know more details.
I refuse to go back to Bulldogs. Yeah, like,
I was like,
call me soon as you leave.
Like, call me because I, like, I don't know who you, you ain't tell me nothing, but I talk to some people. Who these people?
Man, every like, time I, was I like, try and, to and, leave, they pull me back
every
in.
Every time I try to leave, I felt like Tyrese and Chingy, man. Yeah. And so he reached out. And he told me, he's like, hey, I reached out to, and I'm going to just be, I'm going to say some names because this is a testimony. He said that I reached out to Mitch Henry, mm-hmm. which is, he is the program director for Reach Media, which is, he does all the syndication shows. He's head of all syndication shows, whether it's Ricky Smiley, whether it's Get Up Mornings, whether it's Steve Hart, you know, mm-hmm. if no, it's not Steve Harvey, anybody on Reach. Well, yes, it is on Reach. And so, he was like, hey, I talked to him. He's I'm about to make some shifts in my life, and I think you'll be the perfect fit to slide in. And I was like, oh, man, okay. So he was like, bro, like, I'm going to have him call you within the next couple of days because I really want to make this transition easy. Okay, cool. So fast forward, 2 days later, I got a phone call from, and I had this person's number in my phone, Derek Harper. I had Derek Harper's phone, and I was like, what? And it didn't say Derek Harper at the time. It just said Radio 1 because I had saved Radio 1's number in there too. And I was like, okay. And so when I seen Radio 1, I'm just assuming it's Mitch Henry.
Okay.
So I'm on the phone just, hey, yeah, what's up? Da-da-da-da-da. Boom, boom, boom. And he was like, I said, hey. And I literally called him Mitch.
Mitch, I was wondering.
I would call him Mitch. And I think he didn't hear me at first, right? Because he just kept talking. And I'm like, okay. And then he kind of circled back. He was like, wait, do you call me Mitch? I said, yeah. He said, this is Derek. And because I don't remember hearing his name because I was just so focused on that it was Mitch. No. Man, he was like, hey, I got an opportunity for you. And I'm just trying to test in the waters. You know, I know me and you had talked years ago in the past, and I followed you and stuff like that. Okay. So he didn't go into detail. Mm-hmm. So I'm still thinking this is the same job.
And all this is poured off of something that Johnny did, right?
No, I didn't
know
any of this.
Johnny was there when I got the text.
I was
at the house. And when I got the initial phone call from the guy.
All Johnny did was say, hey, man, one day you're going to get a call, and it's going to be go time.
But what you said, you put your name out. Were these people, any of these people, some of the people you put the name out to?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I was just wondering.
So, yeah, man.
I can't take credit for this man's success.
Oh, no, it wasn't about credit. I was trying to.
My brother did this on his own.
It was a trip, man, because I got off the phone with Derek, and then Mitch called me the same day. So I was like, I was so confused. I said, wait, this is not the same job? But they're in the same building.
Right.
And because I didn't understand how the companies worked at the time, the Reach Media and Radio 1, although they are two separate companies, they are under the same TV 1.
Right.
They're owned by the same person. Mm-hmm. And so I was so confused. I was like, well, wait a minute. So they both was like, so I asked, I said, well, what is this job for? And when Derek told me what the job was for, I said, oh, okay, clearly this is not for the same job. Mitch told me the same, different jobs. So at this point in time, guy called me back and he was like, yo, like, did you talk to him? I said, yeah, I also talked to Derek too. Did you talk to Derek too? Like, you could have told me, like, because I'm calling this man by the
wrong
name. I didn't think two people were going to. They had no idea.
That's awesome.
They had no idea.
That's awesome.
So they
runneth over already at the gate.
They had no idea. So they both had gave me job opportunities. And I had literally, like, right. Because the guy needed me to train. He needed me to overlap him. He really wanted me to overlap because he knew he couldn't leave, you know, without. And so I had like 2 weeks. Man, them 2 weeks, I was stressed. I was stressed. I remember sitting in the parking lot in my gym. And he was like, did you make a decision yet?
What cologne
were
you wearing?
Did you make a decision? Like, probably.
That part,
you know, I don't recall.
Yeah,
it was probably like a body spray. Because I was going to the gym. I was so confused, man.
But even on that one, right? People underestimate. Now there's good problems and bad problems,
right?
But the problems, You know what I mean? And good problems are real. Yeah, are real problems. Yeah, yeah. We always want all this success, but we don't understand. So it's like, oh, now you got these choices. Like, that was, I mean, even though we're calling it good stress, it was stress. And now you're like, how do I make the right decision?
The right decision. All that stuff. Because I felt like I was in the same boat from when, well, a lot better boat from when I was just sitting there and be like, what do I do? What am I, you know, what do I continue with this career or do I go do something else?
Now you got to battle the FOMO.
Yeah. So what happened was, and I'm going to be real honest with y'all, the two job positions were to be the executive producer for the Willie Moore Jr. Show, which is a syndicated, nationally syndicated show, and or to be the producer for Jacqueline Carr, and that was it at the time. Now, one was full-time. Willie's was full-time. Jacqueline's wasn't. I literally had Willie on my vision board. Literally, a picture of Willie was on my vision board for that year.
I got to hear how this took the turn.
So, what happened was...
Because right now, everything seems pretty obvious to me. But
yeah, it going on. Something was like... So, here's what I was thinking. God, and I felt like this is what was told to me. I had to make a decision that if I was going to either jump on a boat that was already sailing, and would it be the full captain, or... start on a smaller boat.
Oh my gosh.
And really build it up with less money, part time. And because I'm a risk taker, I went with the smaller boat.
This means nothing to you. I just want to shout out to my good friend, Michelle Finneran Dennity. She was on our podcast a little while ago.
What up, Michelle?
Same boat, same thing. Yeah. It's nice to know when you have certain people going through the same thing. So, Michelle, you're not alone. I mean, it was me too, but still.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had to shout her out. And she's my heart anyway. So.
Yeah, love it. All right, love go ahead. No, man. So I chose the smaller boat. It was a very difficult decision. However, it was the best decision I ever made in my career. In my total career.
And what made that so?
Well, the guy that was orchestrating everything behind the scenes, literally within like maybe this time last year, he reached out. He called me. He said, bro, I'm going to let you know something. I'm glad you didn't listen to me. Ooh. He said, because your trajectory, like I'm watching from the behind. He's like, I thought... Had you took the job that I wanted you, my old job, he was like, you would have stayed like this.
Right.
He was like, but you took at the time, a smaller job. Now, granted, Jacqueline has over 1 million followers on all social media. She's a huge gospel star, you know, but I really didn't, you know, but she hasn't been in radio long. Right. So she was more of a rookie in radio, where Willie has been in radio for years. So I was like, man, I can help this lady. I can help her grow. So that was one of the reasons. But I did it, and I worked it. Like, because although I was her producer, you know, and just only working, 5 hours a day, Monday through Friday, you know, 25 hours a week, I was able to, they came to me, they said, hey, we know you do on air. You want to do on air too? Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Let's do it. So did on air, and then I just maximized on the opportunity, and I ran with it.
We call that finessing.
Yeah,
in the game, he finessed the system. Yeah.
I finessed it
because we call it taking initiative. We call it not sitting back.
I'm gonna say finesse for this reason. Everywhere in the world, we talk about the overnight success thing and how long that actually
takes. Come on. Yep.
Me and you both, before we got that big pop in our radio careers, we were going 7, 8, 9, almost 10 years before the pop happened.
Yep.
And that's usually how it goes. You got it. Not only did you get in there as a part-timer on a brand new show, helping a new air talent build a show that has become one of the biggest shows now. You became the assistant program director of the station. In essence, if you don't know what the APD is, the program director, that's the boss. Yeah. The APD actually runs the ship. They gave you the keys, in essence, to that station.
Yeah.
And within that small time frame, I believe you won, is it 3 awards you won so far?
2 Stellar Awards.
2 Stellars.
Back to back.
Mr. Back to, don't drink you.
Two Stellar Awards, which is huge for me. And those were particularly big for me. For those who don't know, Stellar Award, winning a Stellar Award is like
one of the biggest things that you could do being a gospel talent or being in the gospel industry, period, whether musician or whatever, singer-songwriter. And quick, I want to give a quick story on that because this is something in it for somebody. In 2014, that was my first Stellar Awards. I got asked by a church member to just come with them just so I can serve. Went to Tennessee. It was in Nashville, Tennessee. Went to Nashville, Tennessee. My kids were posted. My wife was pregnant with my kids at the time. That was in January. They were due because they were twins. I knew they could come early. So I'm paranoid and frantic. I was like, if I go here and I can't get back because I rode with somebody else, will I be able to get back? Long story short, was able to get back. We had the kids. That was great. That's 2014. 2019 was the very next time I went. So there was time in between because that's when I really start to like change. You asked earlier about me switching from secular to gospel. Right. That's when I started. My wife and I came up with this show called Believers with Balance. And I was like, if nobody's going to give us a show, let's start something on our own. Sure. And so that's what we did. And initially it got on a radio station back in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is where I'm originally from. So we started doing that. That was 2019. Got all the way to Las Vegas because that's where it was at the time. Completely didn't read the email, right? So excited that I got acceptance letter to come cover the red carpet. Completely missed that they did not say I could cover the red carpet. So yeah, we're in Vegas.
Oh wait,
it's story time.
What did they say?
He said it's story time.
I mean, what did they say?
Bro,
do you have a red carpet? They said, do you like red carpet?
I don't even remember. I guess I skipped that thing.
Nico saw Stellar's Vegas.
Wow. I see the logo and see the accepted. Bro, we get to Vegas. We got our outfits ready, you know, cause we try to go look like somebody.
Nico, are you kidding me?
So they said, come pick up the credentials the day before the carpet. So I said, yeah, let's go get these credentials so that way we can go get them early. We can go back, leave them in the hotel, and then go enjoy Vegas. So went there. I get to the desk where they're doing checking people in. Flowers.
I don't.
We know that. We know that. We know that. I was like.
Wait, they were like, how do you spell that?
Yeah. I was like, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, she just, you know, it's like, cause it's like four women. I'm like, all right, cause it's like A through D. You know how they break it down.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's probably on her list.
Right.
Cause clearly F is in this. But she was like, no, I can tell. We all have the same thing.
Is that a PH? Maybe it's a PH.
Is it singular or plural?
Is the L silent?
Yeah. So she looks again and she don't see anything. And so she was like, go look back at your email. I look back at my email. My wife at
and you Janice, literally look like Boo Boo the Fool.
Janice pulls out her email and she goes in depth in the email. Like she's behind me. I can feel her on my right shoulder and she's just reading through. And she just puts her phone in my face. It says, that does not say we are accepted for the red carpet.
It says you are accepted for a new red carpet loan.
What's up, seat fillers?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my God.
And so, yeah, it was like they said that we could do the media room, which the media room is just where there's a stage, and after they get off the stage, you can, answer questions and stuff like that. But I was already dressed up and fine, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh, somebody going to see me in this suit. So what we got to do?
And he had the black tie cologne on, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yes. So what happened was the lady was like, okay, because the people were coming and getting it. So she's like, okay, step to the back. And after everybody is gone, let me see what we can do. And she's like, better yet, just come back early tomorrow morning. Because that way we can see who made it, who didn't make it.
I don't like you right now. Nice. This one of them favor ain't
fair. That's called favor ain't fair.
If it was me.
Look, Johnny's surrounded by a whole bunch of that right now.
Yeah.
So it's about to rub off on him.
Johnny, I'm waiting.
It's about to rub off on him.
Coattails to hit your boy.
Go ahead. Listen, we come back the next morning dressed. No, I'm sorry. We weren't dressed. We came back the next morning
same
early.
Suit?
No. The lady says, okay, y'all step ahead. And she was like, all right, listen. There's a few people that if they don't come get them by the next 15 minutes, it was literally 15 minutes. She was like, sit still, but we're going to close registration. If they don't come in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to give y'all one of theirs.
Nice.
So that's what she did. Nice. End up doing our first carpet.
No background check, nothing. Just on the strength of.
So at that point, you were just Gordon Walker.
Yeah.
Or whatever the name was.
Devil's favorite. Devil's favorite. That was 2019. Did the carpet, met so many people, networked with people that in the time had no idea who they were, and it will come back around. 2020, of course, COVID hit. 2021, I had just started working there, so I had missed it that year. Nobody went checking for me. 2022, in March of 22, I got promoted to assistant program director, and I went on this campaign for us to win a Stellar. Like, I was like, it's my goal. And I got super creative, did some really cool things, end up winning, and it was in Atlanta that year, so that was super dope. And I got to go on stage and hold the award. Like, it was my program director at the time, my operations manager, Derek Harper, myself, and our general manager, Tim Davies, which is up there, like the man. And so it was the three of us, Darlene McCoy and Erica Campbell, on stage, and I got to hold the trophy. It just showed me that how you can go from the bottom to the top. Sure. Like, it was like I was once had to baby please let me do this,
right?
Like, to now I'm literally co-workers and friends with people that I looked up to, right, and listened to for years. You know, it still blows my mind that, you know, some of the people that are in my life now are people that I would have never thought. When I was in Charlotte, I remember listening to Darlene McCoy, the show, The Nightly Spirit. And, you know, and now I told her, I was like, you don't understand. Like, I'm a fan turned co-worker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, like when we first met too, you were like, Stone, I have been trying to be here to meet you for years. Yeah. And I was like, man, what an honor. I appreciate
that. That's beautiful.
I appreciate that.
That's beautiful. I love it. That's beautiful. I love it.
I'm glad I could be a pimpin' in the pain where it helps.
And then in 2020, what else is this? 2023.
Big news. Big news. Yeah.
And then in 2023, this year, it's 2024 now. 2023, went on another campaign, won another one, back to back.
Good for you.
There's a video that probably is still on my Instagram that people are still talking about to this day, because it literally, my cameraman followed me from my seat all the way to the stage with me walking with the announcement.
Shot. Yeah.
And I got hit up so much. It was in Vegas again this past year. People are like, bro, like, that video is everywhere. They was like, that speech was amazing. I wrote that speech out real good too. Nice. It was a good speech.
Nice.
I'm proud of myself.
Hey, really, hey, pat yourself on the back, man. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And so, man, that was extraordinary, man. But again, it showed me how the first one I went to was in 2014. I literally served. Mm-hmm. I literally served, and I was serving Jonathan Nelson.
Okay.
And full circle moment, I was at New Birth a couple weeks ago for an event, and he was in sound check, and I walked in just to see who was in there, and I was just getting some video or whatever like that, and he seen me on stage. He was like, bro, what up? And I'm like, ain't this something? Like, this is crazy.
Did you say, ain't this something? Or was like, ain't this a...
No, you slipped up.
That is not what I said. But no, it's a beautiful thing, man. So yeah, the two Stellar Awards for the station, and then Black Media Honors. We got Media Trailblazer of the Year for 2023.
Look at you, man.
I got four Spin Awards at the moment. Four Spin Awards.
That's right.
Four Spin Awards.
Next year, I'm going to be five-time Spin Award winner.
Yeah. And then I'm actually in a week and a half, by the time this airs, I'm being honored for Radio Vanguard of the Year in New Orleans.
Congratulations.
So headed down there to receive that award. I'm taking the fam with me.
Yeah.
This will be the first time that my kids actually get to
see that their daddy's famous.
Me win an award. Yeah. They see the trophies.
That's going to be impactful.
They see the trophies, but I'm so excited for them to see it, because my kids grew up and my kids have always seen. I tell my wife, it's like, we're not normal. You know, the industry that we're in, my wife is a dancer, a professional dancer. I know this is Atlanta. You got to put that in front of
me. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I was going to be like, I knew there was a reason I liked her.
When I said it, I seen a swiveling of a pole. Yep. Let me tell you that.
I ain't going to lie. I did too.
Yeah, I felt very uncomfortable seeing Janice what she just did in my head movie.
No, I saw it too.
Very uncomfortable. Matter of fact, I feel like I need to apologize for what went down just now.
You're a man, and I literally saw it. Too. I literally saw.
You're allowed to. I'm not.
Oh, there's a pole. Okay.
I'm balanced like a mug.
You're twins. Is it boy, girl?
Boy, girl.
That's awesome. They'll turn 10 in February. And yeah, man, so this will be the first time that they see Daddy. Yeah. Now, they hear me on the radio all the time because I'm on like several commercials. Okay. So it's still like I'll be listening to myself sometimes. Like commercial come on. And sometimes I'll word it. Like the other day, my wife was driving, and I literally turned around and started wording my commercial. Hilarious. And they were like, really? Like, now you're flexing.
Yeah.
Now you're flexing. But they're so accustomed to it because I've done news in Charlotte. I did entertainment news in Charlotte where my kids were on the show at least 6 times. Like one of my kids actually ran on live TV while I was doing a segment. It's amazing. So
that was Judah. That had to be Judah.
Actually, it was Coy at that.
What?
You know what? I can't. You know what? I got to go. I have the audio. I have the footage.
You can't tell them apart.
No. Yeah.
No. Oh no, you better be able to tell them apart.
But yeah, man. So it's been a blessing. All the awards is just a reminder of how far I come, sure. And I never let it get to my head, and I stay super humble. Not,
you're still serving. You've done what you've done, and you still serve.
I'm still serving.
To me personally, that kind of tells your character right there.
There's so much more to do that I'm excited about.
Man, I hate to do this, but we boys, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Because this has been such a respectful and respectable and inspiring interview that I got to make it ratchet.
No,
so now that you are the boss man for the most part of the top, we'll call it spiritual station. Is that safe to say?
You can say inspiration.
Inspirational. Yeah. That's the word, inspirational station. That secular stuff still seeps into it. Now, when you're on that side and you have to deal with those stories, it's one thing because it's what you expect. You expect there to be drama. You expect there to be nonsense. You expect there to be scandal. But over the last decade or so, we've had an influx of that scandal seeping into the inspirational, spiritual, and religious side. Exactly. Most recently, and notably, I mean, we know what happened with Diddy and all the stuff with Cassius coming out. Someone who's been tied to Diddy because of their friendship is T.D. Jakes, and that information is out. And I've been noticing that it's been affecting a lot of my friends who are heavily into the church and are also on the inspirational side in radio. As someone who has to direct the branding and content that's shared and disseminated, in a broadcast medium, you have to, one, stay true to your listenership and your fan base and not try to hide what's actually happening. But at the same time, we don't want to be the ones perpetuating scandal or misinformation. Mm-hmm. You're in that position now to where those decisions are in your hands. Like, how are you guiding and directing the content right now as that's happening?
This is a really good question because I
know.
It's a really great question because currently I'm on vacation, so it's
giving me time to think.
It's giving me time to think, and if I can be really honest with you, I've been really following. I took a break from social media, so a lot of things I was missing, but I do get news feeds, so I do see news feeds, and you know I do able to go see YouTube videos and kind of keep up. And as of last night, it is bothering me, to be honest. It's bothering me because, and I'm not even gonna lie, it's bothering me, but it also makes me check myself because I am a Christian, but I am balanced and I'm not perfect, and I do things that other Christians may not agree with, or listen to other music that other Christians may not agree with as well. So I'm not the most perfect person. However, it does become harder and harder for me. It's almost like me checking myself and say, man,
I can't go along with some of the things that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we got to do better as a people is really speaking on it. I think sometimes we just try to sweep things under the rug and pretend that it didn't happen. But when you're somebody who is, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, because there's a lot of people in hot water right now. Mm-hmm. There's a situation that happened in Atlanta, New Year's Eve, yep. with a certain pastor in a certain church. That's viral right now, and people are going in nonstop on that individual. I met that individual a couple times, really cool, interviewed them as well. But it's becoming this thing where we're becoming too laxed. Mm-hmm. We're becoming too lax. And I think at some point, you know, we got to fall back. I think what happened, my personal opinion was, what happened is, and I've been very much so involved in this movement, is we want to be a bridge to reach the other people who are not necessarily going to church, who are not necessarily talking about God and stuff like that. I have a segment called Bridging the Gap, which I literally make it where I talk to secular artists or people outside the gospel
industry. And ask them your famous question.
Yes, and ask them, what does God mean to you? I'd start doing that because I wanted to bridge the gap. Like, for instance, you know, when I did, I've done several people. I did Jeezy, you know, and Jeezy gave an amazing answer. And it was in that time I was like, okay, this is great, because you don't never hear, at least I don't hear him coming out just saying, God, you know, when I'm going through rough times, this is what I do, whatever, you know, give insight. But his answer was really good, and it made you realize that, dang, just because they don't talk about it don't mean they don't believe, or don't mean they don't have some type right. of a foundation. And so it was a really good thing for me. So I did that with that in mind. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes, especially with the things that are going on now, I have to set boundaries with myself and say, all right, when is enough enough? Mm-hmm. Like, when is it okay to do this? It's okay to again, me and my wife like to dance in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's my wife. That's what we do. Would I put a camera on us dancing in the kitchen and put on social media to the music that people may not agree with? Some people may say, but it's your wife and that's your house. Right. Other people may come for you and be like, but still, mm-hmm. like, that's cool if y'all do it. Y'all married. Do that. But doesn't need to be shared with the world right. in that type of look right. or in that type of way. So, yes, it is very difficult. It's becoming more difficult for me. And I think as I grow into this person where I know who I am going to become less bendable. Okay. And I have to hold myself accountable. I mean, shoot, like I plan with my the team at the station. We plan a lot of events. I'm heavily involved in those events. Do we have a good time? Absolutely. Have there been times where I leave the event and be like, as great as that was, I know we help people today, but I don't want to confuse people either. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to check myself to be like, to be all quite honest, if I'm in a certain place and we got an artist up there and the bar is open, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What do we do? Is that cool? Is it not cool? If it's cool, they can do what they want to do. But for me, I may be like, nah, I'm not going to do that in public. You know, mm-hmm. like, having a drink is fine. I don't listen. I'm going to have me a drink, you know, because I'm cool with who I am. You know what right. I'm saying?
I'm only laughing because we've shared some of these drinks. So I
a lot, know, lots yeah. of those drinks. lots. Shout out to New Year's.
Right on.
So, you know, it's becoming a very difficult thing for me. And it's really for me. I'm thankful that some of this stuff is happening because it does need to be brought to light, because mm-hmm. you still have people who are lost and need to be brought in the right way. Right. And if you are watching some of the things that are taking place right now, you're going to be so confused about what it really is mm-hmm. that you're supposed to be doing. And not to say that we're all perfect, because again, I don't care what you do on your off time. That is your personal business. Right. If you want to dance with your wife, if you want to have drinks, if whatever, you know what I'm saying? If you mm-hmm. want to watch movies that may not be Christian-like, I mean, shoot, Color Purple, all of them. Usher, it's a lot of us. And when I say us, the Christian community went to go see Usher.
Mm. Shame on y'all.
Every one of y'all. I would have, but I want my to pay them ticket prices. But listen, my wife wanted to go, you know, and if she wants to go, she can go. Yeah. Like, that's cool. That's not the issue. The issue is when you bring it into the church.
Right.
When you're under the roof and you're doing it.
you know, that's why I see the issue.
I got you.
Well, that's because your accountability, and you fully are being an example at that point.
Absolutely.
Like that literally is your job, is to be an example.
Yeah.
But what I live by, because it's that line between bondage,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
That technical bondage, if you will, and then the freedom that we have in Christ, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I do it like, me personally, I don't know if I've ever shared this with anybody, but for me, I always say, I pay attention to my steps, but I focus on my walk. Mm. And what that means to me is, yeah, I don't just do everything willy-nilly,
yeah.
but I'm a stumble every once in a while. My steps are going to be off.
Yep, yep.
But what did my entire walk look like?
Yeah.
So when someone says, who stoned you? Man, that nigga crazy. He wild, boy. He be ratchet as well. I mean, he a good dude. He got a good heart, but let me tell you something.
That's how they do.
Stone, he got a good heart. Stone, get down with the rest of them, right?
Yeah.
Or do I drink with you? Do we go out? Do we watch a violent movie? Have you seen something sexy? Have we go blah, blah, blah? But you'd be like, how stone are you, man? Stone, let me tell you something. That dude right there, if I ever met anybody that was trying to help somebody be better, that's that dude Stone. Well, my walk's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way I see it. So for me personally, I say I pay attention to my steps, but I focus on my walk.
Yeah.
Because my I'm human, right? So my I always say my halo's gonna be tilted, my wings are gonna be tatted. But at the end of the day,
I love that.
What?
You know?
Oh, I love that. How have you never said that before?
And can we get it? So I gave t-shirt. That Please to my friend Shakira for her business.
Uh-huh.
Tilted halo, tatted wings. And she started a business, but I don't think it really ended up doing too much. But yeah, but that's fly.
I gotta do this, man. Yeah. Just because, you know, one, I'm a broadcaster. I'm a former broadcaster.
You're broadcasting now.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm you know, journalist like you. Yeah. So it's my job to hold you accountable to what you just said, which was a whole lot of not giving me the answer that I wanted you to give me.
Okay.
But I know that's what you gotta do because of the political spot that we talked about earlier, because you're in the power position. I knew it was a real hard question to ask. Because
the CG Jakes one.
Yeah, it was just like what he was thinking about and how he was gonna handle it. And he gave me the answer. But you know, I was waiting for him to say we ain't putting none of that on the website. I go, it was something like that. No, but I know how difficult that spot is for you to be in right now, having to one filter through all of the noise that's out there.
Yeah.
And then I mean, honestly, in a sense, take care of your flock, because mm-hmm. your listenership is your flock. Those are the people, like whatever you allow them to hear, in essence, becomes your responsibility if you program that to mm-hmm. to go out. So gatekeeping some of the information, and you know, one, making it start with you,
mm-hmm.
holding yourself accountable and checking how you would approach something, and then disseminating that information from that standpoint, and how much you allow to be disseminated, it is an answer. Mm. I just felt the politics that you was doing. You was dancing a little bit. I felt it.
The light of your question, how naive is it for me to say, if I were in your position and I had the company you had, or I ran what I ran what you ran, if I kind of stuck to the what I call the JTF mantra, which is just the facts,
mm-hmm.
right? Because right now everything we're hearing is rumor,
right?
Mm-hmm. We don't have anything factual yet,
right?
So is that harmful for a business like yours being in radio, where you're a news outlet, that I don't speak on anything that's in the rumor mill? I speak on it once it now has been revealed as fact. Mm-hmm. Is that hurtful for your business, or is it helpful? I can see where it legitimizes business, but then who's listening to you? Because everyone seems to be drawn towards rumors.
Yeah.
So,
and I'll be honest, that's more so what I was getting at, because obviously, like, if I was at V103, or even when I was at 929 Game, or if I was still in Orlando at 102 Jams, the way we would approach it,
mm-hmm.
the secular side of media is completely different than how you have to view it.
Because so that was a secular station, it would be a news story.
Exactly.
It'd be a news story. Yeah, like it definitely would be a news story for us. We ain't touching it.
Yeah,
we're not touching it. That's the best I can give you. Mm-hmm. We're not touching it, especially if it's a rumor. Mm-hmm. Now, if things happen where stuff comes down and like it comes down and it's like facts and pictures and
like verifiable,
whatever, right? Yeah. Like stuff. I'm sure there will be an adjustment
mm-hmm.
To what content. What says some of the, to be honest, there's so many talent that doesn't even like to talk about stuff like that. They just want to keep it about lifting people up and enjoying,
right, sure,
which I appreciate.
It's one of the things I like about Praise too. Like the reason why I asked that question the way I did is because I've heard some inspirational stations mm-hmm. report on it. And they reported on it from the standpoint of it's all rumors. They were being straight, but they mentioned, and then what they did was they got kind of in lockstep together in support of. Now, the one thing that I think you end up doing in that situation is that if you get behind him and say, we're going to support him through this because, you know, our leader needs to be lifted up. If it does come out, and I'm not saying it will, but now you look like, you know, it changes him because you got behind something. So you making a decision to just hands off until there's some information, I think is the safest approach.
Yeah, and I think for me, like, even when we have artists that come up, we have a ton of artists that come up, right? Like, there are some things that, you know, the publicists say, hey, please don't mention this, or boom, boom, boom.
Of course.
But then there are some times when, for me, as I grow in the industry and as I become a better journalist, I understand that sometimes it's okay to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like fluff interviews anymore. Like, okay, you come in to talk about your album. Okay. Yeah. All right, but I want to know, like, who are you? Like, what do you do? Like, your album's great, but, like, what else is it to you? Like, let's talk about something. Not to say that we got to go into politics or anything like that, but I want to hear more of your testimony, your struggles, your triumphs, like, something like that.
I mean, kind of like how we do.
Kind of like Life on Podcast.
I was about to say that, bro. I want to hear some struggles. If you don't have struggles, of course, I'm not telling you, you know. But yeah, I do want to hear more than the typical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, one of the frustrating things is people who do interviews who don't tap into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to be honest, I've interviewed TD Jakes before. Very cool, very great, you know, very gracious. He was promoting his book at the time, one of his books. Very cool dude. However, if it was today, the interview would be completely different.
Of course.
Because I'm so self assured of me and the audience that I'd be like, you know, we ain't got to get into the nitty gritty, but let's talk about it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's like a balance act, but a lot of people don't want to touch it. And I can understand that too, because it's still, you have factual things, then you don't want to say anything that could potentially put you in a situation where if it gets proven that it didn't happen, then you just get egg on your face. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want that either. So I think the best way you can do it is just to kind of just shut up until it's proven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
I
got five questions I'm going to ask him.
Okay. I'm going to say this. I'm going to let him get to it because he like do this rapid fire thing. I'm going to get out the way for the rapid fire. Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be. I apologize in advance.
I love it. No, I love rapid fire. Let's get it. No.
I'm going to say this, though.
These are going to be random. So
it's really,
let's get it. I love it.
It's really cool for my career to run into somebody like, I've got a couple people, but I mean, we've had this conversation. You know, you're in like the top two of those people that I can say we've had real introspective and reflective conversations about ourselves as programmers and broadcasters and how we approach media in general and then how we do content. And how we keep it creative, but we keep it informative, but we stay right in the middle on what the facts are. We'll give you a little taste of what that, you know, so you can know what's out there. You have flawlessly told that line and still remained informative and entertaining. And I've stolen a bunch of stuff from you. I mean, you know that. Like, I've borrowed some Nico techniques over the years that we were still working together because it's so effective. And it made me better. And running into people like that is rare, especially genuine people who you can grow from saying I didn't know this person from nobody, and then y'all like genuinely become friends over time to where, you know, your kids and your family's hanging out. Like, that's rare. So I can say now, like, I know you a little bit.
And
with saying that, my last question is gonna probably be my hardest question to ask you, like, as a friend and a brother, is that, you know, seeing where we both come from, literally starting from nowhere and working all the way up to the top of the game in one of the biggest markets that's here, and having all of the successes and the accolades, the awards, having families that are thriving and being respected in the industry by our peers, do you feel at this point it's become easier for the waffle color brother to get the top job? Because for a long time, it was the chocolate brothers that I was bossing.
Literally never heard waffle.
But now, ever. The light skinned brothers is making it. Y'all making a comeback now.
Charlamagne and DJ Envy.
Is it y'all? I'm asking it for that. Because, like, it really is you, Envy, Ebro. But y'all starting to grow. So is it y'all trying to take over from us, bro? Is it easier for y'all than it is for us now? What's the thing?
I don't know. You may be onto something, because shout out to Derek Harper. Yo, listen. That's my boss, and he's amazing. He's amazing.
Is he a waffle?
He's more of a pancake.
More pancake, not quite waffle.
Yeah, he's darker than me.
Okay, pancake. Okay,
so, yeah. So we in the same waffle. Class.
We in the same class. They're looking out for y'all own.
That's so you French toast? Is that what it is?
Oh, no, but I'm chocolate, brother. Yeah. The chocolate.
You burnt toast.
Oh, no.
I literally was in my head thinking, burnt. But then
But you gotta keep it breakfast, though. So toast.
That's racist.
Yeah. It was in my head. What did it was literally right there.
Maybe I said, I should have said burnt. I should have said a chocolate fudge Pop Tart. That would have meant, because I'm trying to stick with the breakfast thing.
I don't like you.
Bro, what I tell you, there's nothing to the soundbite right there.
There's nothing to the theory.
My God.
I just wanted to know where you.
I literally was going through my head.
I don't see you as burnt toast.
Breakfast items that I could help to make it work.
Right.
And I thought I literally seen burnt in my head, but I was like, no, that's racist.
Ain't nothing racist about it. It's toast.
I know who not coming to game night next time.
Oh, man.
No, man, I admire
pancake,
your
success. Pancake, waffle, and burnt toast.
I admire your success. I told you the other day.
Yeah.
I was halfway joking when I was like, man, I ain't helping because you don't need all my help. That's what I meant. Like, you've gotten to that point now. Like, what could I do to assist? I'm going to be a cheerleader, and I'm going to be one of the biggest ones. And if it comes to a point to where, you know, Johnny's Fingerprints can do something again, I'm going to be all over it, man, because it's so few people who deserve every single thing that they got overnight that took 12 years to get to. And just to watch it happen so fast after it started happening, you gotta admire that, because it's been honest, it's been genuine. From my knowledge, you haven't screwed anybody over, and it ain't a whole bunch of people I can say that about that I've worked close with. So I mean,
there's some twins that might attest to that.
That was a good one.
All right, here we go. Random. What about you would cause others to either look down on you or choose to avoid you?
I would say I can be a little, my mouth sometimes can be a little in business.
You backsliding?
No. It can be. I'm big on communication. Really, really big on communication. I will over communicate. However, I'm not a person that is, I've become this person that I'm gonna say how I feel. And I think if I don't like you, I'm gonna say it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
What is one thing?
You wouldn't even know he wrote these.
What are three things that grieve you or break your heart more than anything else?
Ooh. Oh. That's a good one. Breaks my heart. It could be in the industry.
It could be anything. One thing that breaks your heart or grieves you more than anything else.
I would say, oh man, that's a good one. Can we come back to that one?
Okay, we can.
Yeah, let's come back to that.
Superpower. Be invisible, read minds, travel through time. Which one would you pick?
I'm traveling through time.
Yeah? Is there a particular reason why? Or is
butterfly effect. He finna mess some stuff. What you finna mess
listen,
up?
Because listen, I can set everything up. Listen.
Okay.
Listen.
I should have said you can't affect nothing. That's just, That's why. All right. If you could live 10 years of your life as a woman at any point in your life, would you?
What? 10 years? That's a long time. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Nah, I'm good. I love that question. What?
All right, last one. But you still got to answer the other one. Yeah. All right. So no judgment. If money was not an issue and you can get away with anything guaranteed, what would you do?
The things that are rolling in my head.
Right. I already know there's going to be an unspoken filter.
Oh my God.
So is that wild enough? I plead the fifth.
What public thing can you share?
Okay. I'm going to manipulate the mess out of somebody to get the career and the job and the business opportunity that I've always wanted.
Okay.
It's going to be manipulation central.
So you're going to be one of the one percenters. I got you.
Yeah.
So you're going to work in Washington. All right.
It sounds really bad. The word manipulation sounds really bad.
But
hey,
what would you do? Huh? Money's not an option. What would you do if you
wait a minute?
Guaranteed to get away from it.
Ooh, listen. So we done had this whole conversation about everybody being spiritual. Y'all know I'm borderline. So there's some people who wouldn't be here no more.
It's funny because mine is close to yours.
I'm just gonna say it's some folks that don't deserve to.
Y'all old. Mine would know what mine would be.
Yeah. And if I could time travel with the same thing.
Uh-huh. Every nefarious and dirty politician and cop, I will put them on a deserted island by themselves.
That's good.
Oh, you let them live, though.
I will let them live.
So I guess.
Because I would never go on record saying that I wouldn't.
Yes.
Well, I didn't say that either. I'm just saying you wouldn't let them live.
Johnny said rid of them.
I said they wouldn't be here anymore.
You wouldn't be here anymore.
I didn't.
I'm going to go ahead and let them live, but they're going to be on the island.
I'm just making sure you let them live because that other thing is bad and you don't want to be on the other side of the border.
I'm on record saying I put them on an island.
I need to know what the answer to the other question was.
Yes.
Give it to me one more time.
Ooh, shoot. It was random. So I didn't. What was it? What's one thing that makes you sad or grieves you the most?
The one thing that makes me sad and grieves me the most is the fact that there's so many people living who will never reach their full potential.
Oof.
And if I could be completely honest with you, that was my fear for myself. Mm-hmm. And to go back even further, when I was out of work, that I believe was one of the reasons why I was asked to sit still, and I was told to sit still during that period of time, because had I interjected, I wouldn't be on the right course. But because I sat still and really let everything play out like it was supposed to, like the purpose over my life, mm-hmm. I feel like that is why I've been thriving. My prayer is that people find their purpose. I literally have a segment on my show called Purpose Pusher Moment, mm-hmm. and I do it once a show, and it is to inspire somebody to say, especially going into the new year, I did a lot of don't worry about what didn't happen this year. Worry about what could happen going forward. Mm-hmm. Erase what didn't happen. Yeah. Like, because that's in the past. You still got time. As long as you got breath in your lungs, and you woke up, you still got time to do what you need to do. So, yeah, to all those people, get to it.
LifeOnPodcast.com.
Hey.
This is where your life changes, man. Nico Flowers.
Hey.
Yes. Not to be confused with Zay Flowers. Shout out to Zay.
I'm low key, I'm not a Ravens fan. I don't hate the Ravens.
Right.
And I need to look and see Zay a cousin. Because listen, Zay.
Hey.
Yeah.
Listen.
There you go. Man.
Let me hold something.
I want to go to a game. You ain't got to let me hold something.
Everything just, Life on Podcast.
Just throw me some nice tickets.
Yeah. Nice tickets. Where can people find you? Social media and all that kind of good stuff.
Oh, man. You can reach out to me on social media at Sir Nico, SirNeiko. That's across the board, too. And of course, on Facebook, it's just Nico Flowers. So, yeah.
Right on. Y'all know me. Just Johnny Vaughn. JustJohnnyVaughn on all your stuff.
Y'all know what it is. I got that one stop shop hub. StoneStafford.com. IG, Facebook, email, whatever it is you want is right there. And again, lifeonpodcast.com. You can listen there. You can click on YouTube, watch there. You want to subscribe. You want to like. You want to tell your friends. You want to give feedback. Don't forget, L stands for listening, and then I stands for inspire. So thanks, guys. We love you. Nico, thanks, homie.
Appreciate it.
It's good to know you. Now I feel like I know you.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
I knew you, but I know you know you.
I know you know. So we'll probably have you back, bro.
Yes,
so
please
y'all
do.
Have
I
a great week, man. We'll see you next week. Love y'all. Peace out.